Hey guys, welcome back to the Gospel and Love podcast. It's season four.
What?
It's season four, and that's just really exciting, and I don't even have words, but we're just gonna jump right into it today. Today, we are going to be coming out of the book of 1 Timothy, and we are going to be discussing 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. So, go get your Bibles because we're going to be looking at this verse and a lot of other verses. But 1 Timothy 4:12 says this: "Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So first, I'm going to give you some little info about the book of 1 Timothy, everything that I was able to kind of research. But the author of 1 Timothy is Paul, and Paul was basically writing to a man named Timothy. Timothy was from a place called Lystra or Lystra. I don't know how you say it, but it's basically modern day Turkey. So Paul is writing to a man named Timothy, and Timothy was from modern day Turkey. And so 1 Timothy was the first letter Paul wrote to Timothy, hence the name 1 Timothy. This letter is jam-packed with a lot of really cool info, but we're just going to be focusing on chapter 4, verse 12. But yeah. So what I did, I spent maybe like 3 or 4 days. I spent 3 or 4 days just studying 1 Timothy 4:12 and looking at the verse and praying and trying to figure out what God wanted me to speak about. So the first thing we're going to talk about is just some facts about 1 Timothy 4:12 and my initial thoughts on it. So 1 Timothy 4:12 was a charge that was given to Timothy by Paul. Timothy was a young leader serving in a church, and biblical scholars like to say, and biblical scholars think that Timothy was like in his late 20s to mid 30s when Paul wrote this charge to him. Paul doesn't really say in his letters if there was a reason he was telling Timothy to not let anyone despise his youth, but there are a lot of like ideas and speculations around why Paul would say don't let anyone despise your youth. So one thing that biblical scholars have thought of and came up with is that maybe there could have been like an association of youthfulness and immaturity among the Ephesians. So maybe they were giving Timothy a hard time. But the book of 1 Timothy doesn't really show if there was despising connected to Timothy's age, but that's just what biblical scholars think. They think that there was an association of youthfulness and immaturity among the Ephesians. So they may have been giving Timothy a hard time, they may not have, but this is all up in the air. This is what biblical scholars think. And it kind of makes sense because Paul wouldn't just be telling Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth for no reason. But yeah, so there could have been the idea that since Timothy was young, he was immature. So Paul was just giving the encouragement to not let anyone despise your youth. Paul didn't address an exact issue that was happening in the church. But he did tell Timothy to set an example with every area of his life. He told him to set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So Paul is basically saying set an example with every single area of your life. And for the majority of this podcast, we're going to be looking at those areas: speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. And with each area that we're going to be looking at and studying, I'm going to just be asking some rhetorical questions, some questions that you just need to sit and think about. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about speech. Paul said, set an example for the believers in speech. So go to your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm, and we're going to be reading chapter 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, 14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So when I first saw the word speech in verse 12, and once I read Psalm 19:14, I just started asking myself questions. So while I was preparing this podcast, I was asking myself the same questions I'm going to be asking you. I was just thinking and reflecting on my own life, and I've been able to see certain areas I need to work on. But concerning speech, just ask these questions to yourself. What words come out of your mouth daily? What words come out of your mouth daily? Do your words build other people up, or do they tear them down? And I feel like it's very important to ask this question, because yes, some people may be overly sensitive, but at the same time, others may be insensitive, which basically means they don't care how you feel. They don't care how the words in their mouth will impact you. So what words come out of your mouth? And do your words build others up or tear them down? Like, honestly, do they build people up or do they tear them down? For me, whenever I'm talking to someone and if I'm thinking about something and if I hesitate about saying it, that is a big red flag. I'm like, if I'm hesitating about saying this, then I probably shouldn't say it at all. Because as Christians, we're supposed to be set apart. Our words shouldn't be filled with hatred, and I feel like that's just so important to remember, because the world will often see Christians as people who are mean and who just hate and who aren't inclusive. But as a Christian, we need to watch what words come out of our mouth daily, because people are always watching us, especially non-Christians, because if they can see us slip up in speech, they can call us out. So just think, what words come out of my mouth daily? Are my words building people up, or are my words tearing people down and making them feel worse about themselves? And I'm speaking a little bit longer on this topic because you can even look at the topic speech and refer it to bullying. When I was in elementary and middle school, people were not nice. People were not the kindest. And I went to a Christian school. And so you'd expect for Christians to be very nice, very respectful. But that just shows how much work Christians have to do. Christians aren't perfect. We aren't perfect people, but we do have to watch what comes out of our mouths. And this topic is so important to me because I, on a regular basis, had people being so mean to me. They would say the rudest things ever. And I'd sit there and I'd just think to myself, I'm like, why did you think that was even okay to say? Or what in your mind thinks that was a smart thing to say? So I've been impacted personally by people who don't think about what they say. I have been verbally bullied, and it hurts. It hurts when someone speaks down to you. And so that's one of the main reasons why I am very careful about how I speak to people. Because I know that your words make such a big impact. Your words have so much power. Your words can brighten up someone's entire day. Or your words can beat someone down so much that they are on the verge of committing suicide. That's why you never know what someone's going through. So that's why for me, even if someone's getting on my last nerve, I try to use words that will build them up. I try to use encouraging words. Because I know firsthand how it felt to be put down, and I never want anyone to feel like that. But yeah, that's my little spiel, my little rant. Every single section isn't going to be like that, but that's my spiel. What words come out of your mouth daily, and do your words build others up or tear them down? Just think about that. The next area of our life that Paul wanted us to set an example with was conduct. And so we're going to talk about conduct, and I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, and we are going to be reading chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, 10. And it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." I'll read it again. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." Not just what you say matters. What you say is very important, but that's not the only thing that matters. What you say isn't the only thing that matters, but the other question is, how do you live? Because you could be the nicest person in the world, but you really have to see, yeah, I'm nice, but how do I live? What do your actions say about your faith? So those are my two main questions. Ask yourself, how do I live? What do my actions say about my faith? What do my actions say about who I am as a person? Are my actions showing that I want to be Christ-like? Are my actions showing that I am a Christian? Can someone tell by the way that you live your life that you're different? That's the big question. Another example, I'm a proud believer, and I don't fit in a lot of places because I choose not to do the craziness that people around me are doing. Like, people at my school, they do ridiculous stuff, and I don't participate in that because that's not something I believe in doing. And so people will look at me and they will think I am the weirdest person in the world. Like, I have had several people just look at me and just say, "You're different." And when people say you're different, at first I take it like personally and just take it like as a bad thing. But I'd be like, "You're different. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you cuss? Why don't you listen to this type of music?" And so that really showed me that I was doing something right. Because if people could look at me and say, "Hey, she's different. She doesn't do this and this and this," then I was doing something right. That means I'm showing Christ through my actions. So if someone can look at you and not wonder, she's different, then just think about that. So just remember, what you say isn't the only thing that matters, but how do you live your life? What do your actions say about your faith? What do your actions say about who you are as a person? What do your actions say about the God you serve? Okay, the next thing that Paul wants us to set an example with is love. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. It says, "If I speak human or angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions and give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I am nothing." I really like that. I read this verse a couple days ago and I forgot how much I loved it. Those verses were basically warning against loveless deeds. So it says, if I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, it's useless. If you understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and you have such great faith that you can move mountains, but you do not have love, this says you have nothing. And it says, if you give away all your possessions and you give over your body in order to boast, but you don't have love, you gain nothing. So it's basically warning against loveless deeds. We aren't just called to set an example in speech and conduct. Yes, speech and conduct are important, but those aren't the only areas of our life that we're supposed to set examples with. We're supposed to set an example in speech and conduct, but we're supposed to do that lovingly. we have to do so lovingly. Are your words and actions saturated with love? Do your words and actions show a love for God and your neighbor? Let me ask you again. Are your words and actions saturated with love? Do your words and actions show a love for God and your neighbor? Do what you say. Are your words showing love? Are your actions showing love? This verse talks about loveless deeds. Are you doing things just to get recognition, or are you doing things out of love? Because 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 is basically showing what happens if you do things without love. It said that you have nothing or you gain nothing. If you do things just to gain attention, if you do things just to have your name put up on some plaque and you do it without love, you've gained nothing. So examine yourself. Are your words and actions covered with love? Do your words and actions not only show a love for God, but also for those who are around you? All right, the next thing we're going to be talking about is faith. Paul said, "But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in faith." So we are going to go to the book of Hebrews and look at chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. And that says, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Y'all, we're called to live lives of faith in God. We're called to live a life of faith. Does your life exhibit a faith in Christ? Is your life marked by faith and confidence in God, or by faith and confidence in yourself? That's one of the most important questions. But first, does your life exhibit a faith in Christ? And my favorite question to ask myself and ask others is your life marked by faith and confidence in God, or by faith and confidence in yourself? It is so important to hand everything over to God. I've honestly learned that this week, because one, I'm a senior in high school, and that means that next year I go up to college, and college planning is a lot. And I have to make a whole bunch of decisions. Plus, I have to get through senior year and pass all my classes. And it's a lot. And so I've been trying to do everything on my own. I've been trying to take control of everything. This has just been like this month. And I've realized a couple of days ago, like, Alyssa, place everything in God's hands. Place your complete faith and confidence in God, because he is more than capable of handling it. But me, being a flawed human, I thought I could handle everything, and I thought I could do it all on my own. But in reality, when I try to do everything on my own, I just make things worse. I wasn't putting my full confidence and faith in God at the time. But let me tell you, right? When was it? Maybe last week, when I finally just like gave myself a little like pep talk and just said, "Hey, Alyssa, place your faith in God," things have gotten so much better. And I'm just not saying that for this podcast. Honestly, when I prayed and I said, "Lord, just take all of this. I place all this in your hands." And I said, "Lord, I have all faith in you, and I place everything in your hands." When I prayed that prayer, and when I actually lived it, I felt this big weight come off of my chest, and I just felt so much more peaceful and so much more calm, I guess. Like, yeah, senior year is still going to be stressful, but Just placing everything in God's hands and having full faith in Him has helped a lot. So that's just for me personally. But is your life marked by faith and confidence in God or by faith and confidence in yourself? Are you trusting God or are you just trusting yourself? All right, the next thing and the last thing we're going to be talking about out of this list is purity. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Jesus, let's read this verse first. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Jesus tells us the pure in heart shall see God. That's what the verse just said. Here's some questions for you. Are you growing in purity? Is a vision for God alone increasingly governing your life, or are you increasingly divided? And one of my favorite things to ask, and something I always see, what's her name? It's a Bible speaker. I don't remember her name, but on lots of her Instagram videos, she always asks, "Have you asked the Holy Spirit to give you strength where you are weak? Have you asked the Holy Spirit to give you strength where you are weak?" That's the question. Okay, so we're about to end this podcast, but I wanted to give one more example. At the beginning of verse 12, it says, "Don't let anyone despise your youth." And Paul said that to Timothy. And since it's in the Bible, so I believe that there's something we can learn from that. Sometimes adults will underestimate youth and say, they may say, "Oh, they're young. They probably wouldn't understand this." Or, "They're young. What can they do to help serve in the church?" Or, "They're young, they probably don't have that deep of a relationship with God." But at the same time, youth underestimate themselves. They might say, "I'm just 14, what can I do to bring God glory?" Or, "I'm just 15 or 16, how can I have a deep relationship with Christ?" But I feel like Paul saying, "Don't let anyone despise your youth," is so powerful for all generations, because there are so many people in the Bible, so many young people in the Bible that God used to bring Him glory. And when I say young people, I'm talking about like 30 and younger. So I feel like anyone 30 and younger, they're considered a youth. And God used so many young people in the Bible to bring Him glory. So it's important to know and see that youth should not be despised. God used Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bring Him glory. And biblical scholars think they're between the ages of 10 and 30. And I know that's like a big gap, but still, God used these three young men to bring Him glory. God used Mary, the mother of Jesus, who's probably between the ages of 12 and 14, to bring Him glory. God used David. Something cool about him, actually, which I'll actually talk about. So Israelite men were like sent to the military around the age 20. And if you read the story of David, he was not in the military yet, because when he went to meet with his brothers, when he went to go check on his brothers told him to go home. So that just shows that he wasn't in the military yet, because if he was in the military, his brothers would have said, "Okay, stay here." But instead, they told him to go home. So that alone makes biblical scholars believe that David couldn't have been older than maybe 16 or 17. And that's just crazy, because God used David to kill Goliath and bring him glory. God had David become king at a young age, which in the end brought God glory. So we can go on for hours and find young people in the Bible who were used to bring God glory. And I just think it's so important to remember that God can use anyone. God can use anyone and anything to bring him glory. So we should never despise someone who's younger than us or despise the youth. And that's really what Paul wanted us to know. But that is all for today. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. And I'm so happy to be back and so happy to be starting season 4 up. But let's end in prayer. Lord God, thank you for this day. And thank you for bringing the listener here to just listen to this podcast and reflect on their life and just worship. Please just keep this message in the listener's head for the rest of the day. If they're about to go to sleep, please just let this run around in their dreams while they sleep. And if they're just starting their day, please just allow this message to just stay with them while they go throughout their day. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for getting me through the first week of school. Please be with every single student who is starting school, because this school year looks so different. Please be with every single teacher who has to teach either in class or virtually. Please be with every single parent who might have to stay home and teach their children. Please just be with everyone while they're trying to get used to this new type of normal. Again, Lord, please allow myself and the listener to stay curious and always want to learn more about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.